CliffCentral.com.
George, what's going on in your world? What can you tell us?
Well, here's an interesting story. In Oregon, mostly in the United States, a woman went to a grocery store. And within 5 meters of the grocery store, it's happened on a weekend day, she left her four-year-old inside the car with the engine running.
Okay.
The store employee said the woman was in the store for about a couple of minutes, but the engine was running, child was in the car, a thief got in the car and drove away.
Oh, shit.
But here's the interesting part.
With the child in the car, because that's happened
in
South Africa. Often there are hijackings, and then the kid is in the car, and that can lead to some very, very ugly situations.
Or the pet.
Exactly. But I suppose here is where South Africa is different to America. This thief didn't realize the child was in the car, got a couple of blocks, realized the child was in the car, turned back. Went back to the store. Mother came out, obviously screaming and shouting. Her car and her child, more importantly, was gone. The thief climbed out of the car, obviously wearing a face mask, berated the woman for leaving the child in the car, and told her how a bad mother she was. Got back in the car, gave the child to her, and left.
That is
no wait. Still left with the car, or didn't end up not stealing the car.
Yeah, so you see, but this could only happen in the Pacific Northwest, because people have just, they're all insane, and all of them are on drugs, and they've got they've got massive. I mean, these are the places like Portland and Oregon where people are just, they're crazy, crazy people. They have no respect for property rights, but they'll shit you out for your lack of social justice awareness, you know. To them,
which I take my hat off to that, because you know, you're stealing an object, you're not hurting a human. So I'm not saying that stealing an object is right, but you know, in South Africa, you know, often the stealing comes with hurting people.
Yeah, I mean, that also happens in neighborhoods where nobody has guns, because they're not afraid of the consequences of stealing a car. Like, if you try that in Texas, you'll get a bullet in your head.
Yeah, that's also true. So in Portland, a couple of hours later, the car was found, but the thief not. And they're looking for a 20 or 30-year-old man with dark brown or black braided hair wearing a multicolored face mask.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, it sounds exactly very Oregon. That's so Oregon.
Morals.
That is so Oregon. Oh, my God. You couldn't make a better story up about Oregon. It's like, and that's a real story. Okay, what else you got?
I don't know if you know of the gentleman by the name of Anthony Lewandowski, who was the former tech executive who pleaded guilty to charges of stealing trade secrets from Google's self-driving car division ahead of leaving the company, and then introduced them to Uber and later started his own company, which Uber bought.
Mm-mm. No, but is he still in jail? What happened to him?
Well, he got one massive fine, and he was sentenced to 18 months in prison eventually, because Uber bought his business, which contained the IP of Google, and paid $10 billion for this business. So he became a rich man very quickly. No doubt he became poor very quickly as well, and then was sentenced to jail.
Okay.
Strange thing about the story is that on Trump's last day in office, pardoned Anthony Lewandowski.
Huh. It's a curious thing why presidents decide to pardon certain people and not others. We were joking yesterday with Pumi that we all felt that really Trump should have pardoned the Tiger King. Some people are upset with what, you know, certain people who get pardons. I mean, isn't it now a well-known fact that Bill Clinton pardoned a lot of really dodgy people who were his drinking buddies and people who he might have been procuring women through? But everybody, if you're the president, you have the prerogative that you can pardon people. It's just like our president can pardon people. You know, he did that just before COVID. He actually released a whole lot of prisoners and gave them a presidential pardon. So this is the problem with a lot of political prerogatives, is that you can do it without having to go through a process. Sometimes it's illogical and bizarre. So does Trump maybe have a business interest in this guy, or because that would be dodgy?
When I read the story, I thought, why? you know, because it doesn't kind of say why. And apparently the pardon was supported by some other tech giants as well. So the likes of Peter Thiel, the Oculus Rift founder, and Palmer, they were supportive of Trump's pardon.
Yes.
But, you know, it just still doesn't say, well, why? And you know that leading up to his exit to, out of the White House, the social media platforms blocked him.
Right.
Is this a shot across the bow in the tech industry?
I don't know, but that, I mean, you are talking about some very powerful and influential people in Silicon Valley there. And maybe this is, maybe he's warning Silicon Valley, but maybe at the same time he's giving them the green light to keep doing what they've been doing the whole time. These are extremely powerful people. They control not only the future of things like self-driving cars and platforms like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all the rest of it, where we all think we're able to share free opinion until they decide to clamp down on us. But they're also the people who have connections to all the important political players, and therefore they can influence things beyond their sphere of business, and not always for good. It's fine if they're benign, but imagine if someone really malignant came along. What if there was someone with bad intentions, or someone who had some ideological position, like eugenics or something, you know, like they believed that we've got to wipe out all people who are not of a certain race. I mean, can you imagine with all that power how much devastating damage they could do?
I look at Mark Zuckerberg and how much power he has. I mean, he has full control over Facebook.
Yeah,
the amount of power that man has is unbelievable.
Not good.
Any rate, turning to the lottery. So a gentleman by the name of Dennis Keller won a 2021 Chevrolet Corvette in Georgia. And this car is worth 3.7 million rand, $250,000.
A Chevrolet? Why is it worth so much money? Who would pay that for a Chevrolet?
It's a special edition 2-liter Rapid Blue Z51 VET. So
I'm not gonna pretend I know what that is. So,
well, I had to look it up too, Gareth. So don't be hard on yourself. This car, while he had won the lottery and won the car wasn't available, and it's not available anywhere in America. Oh, so this gentleman got his hopes up in the lottery, won the car, and only to be told, oh, we're sorry, the car doesn't exist. You'll have to wait.
They're going to make him wait? Or why doesn't he just take a cash payout? It sounds like a good deal. I mean, who cares about the car, right? Or am I being... I'm being a non...
He really, really wants this car.
Okay. You see, I'm being a non-car person. That was a stupid move, especially while I'm talking to George Meany.
I don't know this gentleman. I don't particularly like Corvettes either. You know, I think it's like driving an SLK.
Yeah, I wouldn't drive one now, but I had one when I thought it was cool that the roof was a solid roof and could be a convertible. But yeah,
I think there's better sports cars on the road.
Oh, definitely, 100%.
And things like Corvettes and SLKs. And then another question, Gareth, is how many of you name your objects, your inanimate objects? There's a name for this. It's called anthropomorphic behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And a study conducted in 2014, published by the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology, found that the act of naming a car leads to increased trust in the vehicle.
I have always named my cars. I don't own a car.
Really?
Yeah, always. I've always given them names. And so have my parents.
What's your current car called?
Well, I don't own a car now, so I haven't given it a name. But my previous car, I mean, so my first car ever was called Dexter, and that was a little Golf. And then I had...
Was that before the TV show?
Yeah, long ago. This is ages and ages ago. This is when I was still at Varsity. Then there was another little Golf, I think it was, called Blanche, because it was a girl, and it was white. My mother had a car called Doris. And my sister's car was called Owen. And
so, does the name you give the car trump calling it a car? As in, do you now go, oh, please go and take the food out of Blanche? Or do you still refer to it as a car?
So,
Blanche is unlocked. Go right ahead.
Yeah. You would say, oh damn, I forgot to clean the back seat in Blanche because someone took the dogs for an inoculation or whatever. That's how we would talk about it. So your car develops a personality, and I mean, it's only if you love it, because if you hate your car, you don't want to name it, right?
Mine's just named whatever the number plate is.
Oh, okay.
Which I usually make a rhyme out of. So like at the moment I've got fuck sakes and 53 bitches. And that's what my car's called.
You just gave us your number plate there.
Oh, wow. George, just before...
But yeah, I've got a cousin who names her cars. At the moment, she's driving Bessie, which is very cute.
Bessie. You see, that's a nice name for a car. Claude.
Bessie. I've never named my car. So when I came across this, I mean, I know a lot of people name many things. You know, I know people that name their washing machines, they name their laptops or inanimate objects, but I've never named my dog.
That's great. I think it's fantastic. You've got to name these things. I mean, some people come up with some really creative names too, and you're not sure what they're talking about. I mean, we've always been really rude and given my dad's cars terrible names because he doesn't care about naming them. So we name them for him. And then he's like, why do you come up with such shit names for my car? I mean, I'm trying to think of them now, but I can't. But you know, they're always the worst names we could think of. Fatiswa says, my first car was a Golf GTI called Tiffany. The next one was called Velemina and then Trifina. That's beautiful. I love that. I love that, Fatiswa. Carl says, this seems like a white middle class thing to do. Well, we just proved you wrong with Fatiswa, but okay, Carl, you're racist. Chili says, Corvettes are not great, but they're actually very good driver's cars and very good on a track that embarrasses Ferraris. Plus, they are way cheaper to fix, hence people race them so much in the United States. That's interesting.
I don't know. Do you see Corvettes anywhere else in the world? It's only an American thing.
Dr. Robin says, my mate had a number plate that started with CNT, so that became the Cantmobile. That's good. All right. So the point is, though, George, if you do name your car, you're less likely to have an accident in it.
Yes, because a whole lot of things happen. Psychologically, you trust the car more, you're more relaxed, you seem to be more at peace.
Okay, I'll take it. Good. So in other words, everybody make an effort today. In fact, do this as your second thing for the week, even though we only do one thing a week. But your second thing for the week is to name your car.
Name your car.
I wonder how many people's relationship with their car has actually deteriorated because of lockdown and the fact that they're not in the car all the time.
Well, I mean...
You kind of feel bad.
No.
Smart decision. You don't have a car.
Yes, but for now. I mean, I'll probably have to get one sooner or later, and then I'm going to be back in that situation. But I'm driving so little at the moment. Yesterday, I did not leave my house. Like, I went to sleep last night, and I walked past the front door, and I'm like... I haven't even unlocked the front door today. I've been in the house the whole time.
Those are the best.
Oh, I don't know, hey. I felt serious cabin fever. When I went to sleep, I was like, how could I have not even... I didn't even go to the shops. I didn't go for a walk. I didn't do anything yesterday. It was terrible.
I recall reading something last week. I'll try and look it up and send it to you, Gareth. But I recall reading something last week. It was some psychology review about... where if your day and what you look at all day and what you experience all day doesn't change, your brain doesn't remember it.
Oh, wow.
So this piece was around 2019. A lot of people can't there's no massive highlights in 2019 because everybody was just sitting in their houses, looking at the same desk, looking at the same walls, sitting in the same chair. There was no variation in the day.
You mean 2020? I think you said 2019, but I think you meant 2020.
Sorry, 2020. No. So apparently your brain doesn't store non-novel information.
That's interesting. Oh, wow. I think a lot of people, I've experienced that when, you know, when you have like a few days that are very similar and you don't do a lot of exciting things, then they do tend to all morph into one. And you can't really tell how many days have gone by. You know how if you're on holiday and let's say you're doing standard holiday stuff, like you're going to the beach and you are having lunch and you are, I don't know, watching TV or whatever it is that people do on holiday. And if you do that 3 or 4 days in a row, you usually find that people go, what day is it? Like after 3 days, because they can't even remember where in the week they are. That happens a lot to people. Right. It proves your theory that you get from this book.
Yes, exactly. And then very finally, I didn't know this, but everybody knows who David Hasselhoff is.
Of course.
David Hasselhoff has his own personal kit car, a highly modified Pontiac Firebird Trans Am, given the full Knight Rider treatment. Now, this isn't one of the vehicles that was part of the show, but it is owned by David Hasselhoff, and it is a full replica of the original. Now, the interesting thing about this story is that it is being auctioned, and with 10 days left on the auction, it is going for $475,000.
Damn.
Yeah. Oh, we can definitely afford that.
You know, it must be kind of fun for David Hasselhoff. Well, it must have been once or twice. I don't think he probably gets a thrill out of it anymore. But it must have been fun at a certain time to get into the kit car and drive around LA, for example. But I'm sure now it's like, you know, it's like now he could give a shit. He's like, oh, I'm so over that stuff. Right?
Well, you know, there's a new TV show. I don't know if it's out yet. Knight Rider, a modern.
I heard about this. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so I've watched some of the ads and the, you know, the road show that they went on. And, at the moments in which I saw David Hasselhoff appear at those events, he didn't look entirely excited. I didn't think he looked excited.
Listen, everybody gets old and tired and bored with all that shit. And I'm sure that this car has been collecting dust in his garage for a while. And he's like, I don't really need it anymore. Let me auction it off.
Well, he apparently says that he regrets selling the car was hoping to buy another kit replica sometime in the future. Maybe he's in financial trouble. Who knows?
Could be.
He needed money for booze.
No, he stopped drinking. Remember, we had him on my TV show a couple of days ago. Well, a couple of months ago.
Oh, I see.
And,
In financial trouble.
No, he's not in financial trouble. He has an assistant for his assistant, and his assistant's assistant.
I was exactly going to bring that example up. When I usually make a joke and say I'll have my assistant will have an assistant, I saw that with David, and I thought, whoa, that is fancy. I had to talk through two assistants to talk to the publicist to talk to him. Oh, he's fine.
Well, if I had ridiculous money, I might buy the kit car. I was a massive fan of Knight Rider when I was a kid. I always wanted a car that could do those like turbo boosts and like fly over other cars. I mean, that obviously is nonsense, but I loved that shit when I was a child.
I mean, that was actually a coined phrase in my house. Like, if somebody forgot to open the gates, because we also didn't have electric gates when I was very little. My mom would say, what must I turbo boost over the gate? And that was all because of kit.
That's great. All right, everybody, we're out of time, I'm afraid. We need to move on. We've got a busy weekend ahead of us of doing nothing or doing the same things that we've been doing every other weekend during lockdowns. So have a happy one, and we will see you on Monday morning, bright and early at 6 o'clock. Thank you, George. George Meany, CEO of Auto Trader. And don't miss their show, Auto Central, on Monday. CliffCentral.com